After a day of meetings with European allies in Brussels, President Biden called on Russia to be kicked out of the group of 20 nations. That's because of its invasion of Ukraine. And Biden vowed to respond if Russia employs chemical weapons in this apparently stalemated war.
We would respond. We would respond if he uses it. The nature of the response would depend on the nature of the use.
NPR White House correspondent Asma Halla joins us now. Asma, the president said he will not join militarily in Ukraine to prevent what he calls World War III. But now Biden is promising a response if chemical weapons are used. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, Scott, unfortunately, I don't know too many more additional details about what that response would be. That was certainly news when the president made those remarks just a little bit ago. In a statement that a number of NATO states issued together after this emergency meeting, that statement said that any use by Russia of a chemical or biological weapon would be unacceptable and result in severe consequences. That's their words. I will say it is unclear what exactly severe consequences mean, whether that means military action, whether that means additional economic punishment, economic consequences in the form of sanctions. But to your point, I will say that the president, from the very beginning of this conflict, has made it very clear he has no intention of U.S. troops fighting on the ground inside of Ukraine.
Now, the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke from Ukraine to this emergency meeting of NATO today. Ukraine is not getting the fighter jets and the tanks that it has asked for. So what military help has NATO committed to? What new help?
Well, earlier today, a senior administration official was briefing reporters and specified that President Biden has begun consultation with allies about supplying anti-ship missiles to Ukraine. That move, we were told, would come with some, quote, technical challenges, but that the United States and allies are trying to work those out. To your point, though, you know, President Zelensky of Ukraine did speak to NATO leaders via video from Ukraine and asked for additional help. You know, several NATO members, we were told, did make pledges of support to increase their security assistance to Ukraine. And in that joint statement that I was mentioning earlier today, you know, they made a point of saying that NATO allies will continue to provide assistance in such areas as cybersecurity and protection against threats of chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear nature. But again, this is all incredibly complicated, Scott, because no NATO member wants to be individually drawn into a conflict in Ukraine because of the concerns that that could potentially lead to a larger conflict with Russia, but that would not just involve, you know, an individual European country, but could potentially involve NATO as a whole. And a lot of the NATO members are very concerned about that.
I understand Zelensky, at least today, did not renew his request for a no-fly zone. I mean, is that kind of a notable omission?
Yes, we were told that by a senior administration official who was briefing the reporters. He said that Zelensky did not ask for the no-fly zone. He also did not ask for NATO membership. You know, it's hard for me to interpret exactly what that means. I would say perhaps it's also a recognition of what the United States and what NATO is willing to do. And it's become very clear that, you know, the United States, NATO broadly, was not interested in a no-fly zone because of the potential for escalating the conflict with Russia. And so I think where he focused is sort of on getting additional security assistance that he felt possibly European allies would be willing to assist him with.
Yeah, well, security assistance and the president announced new humanitarian assistance for Ukrainian refugees. Can you tell us a little more about that?
That's right. And this is something that, you know, when I was actually in Poland the other week with the vice president, this came up that the Polish president said he had specifically asked the vice president to expedite a process for Ukrainians who are in Poland, refugees who had expressed an interest to come to the United States, you know, possibly because they had family members living here in the U.S. And today the president announced that his administration will be allotting $1 billion of assistance to help refugees there on the European continent, but also that he will allow 100,000 displaced people into the United States. And they plan to work through some of the processing to ensure that that can happen in terms of, you know, expediting visas, ensuring that there will be the visa and the appropriate paperwork to make that happen.
And finally, Asma, the president said in his press conference that NATO has never been more unified. But beneath the surface, I mean, these are sovereign countries. What are the challenges of holding this group together if this becomes a prolonged conventional war?
Scott, to me, that is perhaps sort of the most fundamental question. The president at the end of his press conference was asked about deterrence and his idea of sanctions being deterrence. And the president kind of bristled at that idea and said that he did not say that sanctions would be deterrence.
I should point out that
mm-hmm. many people within his administration 4 weeks before this invasion began did suggest that sanctions would be a form of deterrence. And now the struggle for NATO allies and, you know, members of the G7 mm-hmm. is ensuring that these sanctions remain in effect and that all allies agree to the efficacy of them. And as the conflict drags on, ensuring that, you know, no one nation decides to perhaps splinter away from enforcing these sanctions.
NPR's Asma Khalid, thank you.
My pleasure.